says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 31, it says, do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And the scripture that I was thinking about is not only here in Luke 6, but it's also found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. That's a parallel to this. And it says, and whatsoever you'd have men do to you, do ye also unto them. And then Jesus said also in, Paul was quoting Jesus from Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, when he says, how that you remember the words of the Lord Jesus, which he said is more blessed to give than to receive. And I just want to basically share a testimony this morning. And if most of you haven't noticed, I've been driving a station wagon to work for the last few weeks rather than a pickup. And I just wanted to kind of share how that happened, how that took place. One Sunday morning, we were on the way to church up to Rocky Mountain Christian Center, and as we were getting in the pickup, and I don't know how many of you have ever have three children and two adults getting in the front of a pickup, but it's not the easiest thing to do if you're going to travel any distance at all. And Wendy, when we got in the truck, the old truck, Wendy says, Lord, we need a car, and we need it today. And I said, yeah, Lord, that's right, and without payments. And so when we got up to church, they were having the worship and praise time, and then they had a break in that worship and praise time where they greet one another. And as I went up to Pastor Jerry and greeted Pastor Jerry, he said, by the way, he says, there's someone here in the church that has a station wagon, and they want to give it away. Would you be interested? And I says, yeah, I'd really be interested. And he says, all right. He says, I'll contact the people, and I'll get back with you. Well, that night, I got a phone call from some people in Lyman, and they asked us to come over and have supper with them. And I said, well, yeah, we could do that. And they said, we've got something real important that we want to talk to you about. And they mentioned this about giving their station wagon to me. Well, anyway, they had put about $600 and some in the engine. They had the valves redone and all the upper end of the motor redone, and they had put quite a bit of money in it. And they were expecting to keep that for a family car because they had children too. And it just so happened that this guy's father-in-law offered them a Cadillac at a certain price, and I guess that they decided they would like to have this Cadillac. So he said that he had tried to sell this car, but he just felt in his heart that he needed to give it, and he wanted to give it to somebody that would, you know, use it for the gospel. And basically, Wendy and I were in a, and our children were in a position where that we couldn't really even get out of town, you know. Even if we had somewhere to go and to minister or whatever, we basically were at a point we couldn't really get out of town. And so anyway, we went over to Lyman that next week and picked up the car. And it's really been a good car, and it's been a blessing to us. That humbled me. It really did. It humbled me. And what it stirred in my heart was that, Lord, I really want to be a blessing to others. I want to give. I mean, I want to be a blessing to others. And so I began to pray about it. And I said, Lord, I want to be a blessing to as many people as I can be. I just want to be a blessing going somewhere to happen. And anyway, I had been thinking about John for quite a while, John Baker here. And I had seen that he had a kind of a dilemma in his family situation where that he was, you know, he has children and a wife and they have to share their car in between trying to get to school and get back and John get to work. And it's been extremely hard on John. And I just purposed in my heart that I wanted to help John out and that I was going to give my pickup to John. And when I really got that thing settled in my heart, I mean, I really had it settled in my heart that this is what I really wanted to do. Here comes a guy up to my door out of nowhere, sees my pickup and wants to pay cash for it. And I mean, he wanted to pay more cash than I thought really that probably the pickup was worth, you know? And I said, now, I don't know. I said, I don't think you really want this pickup truck, you know, and this and that and that. And he said, man, I want it. He says, I want, he says, I've got the cash and I want to give it to you now. And I mean, he was really adamant about giving me this money. Well, I tried to hold the guy off as much as I can, but I began to get this real feeling in my heart that, you know, I'd already purposed in my heart to give. And so I was trying to figure out how I could do that and still get John a vehicle and all kinds of things. I was really, it was really troubling me. So in the next few days, I think the guy supernaturally, or God supernaturally held the guy off for a day or two. And I came in one morning, I said, John, I'll give you a real good deal on my pickup. And he said, oh, you will, you know, and we've talked about it before. And anyway, I was up in my office doing some work, and here comes John, and I knew he wanted to talk. And I knew that he was probably wanting to talk about the truck and things like that. And so we were up there talking, and I said, well, John, I tell you, this is what I'm going to do. And I just said, here's the title of this truck. And I just handed him the title. And I says, but I can't give it to you till the weekend because I don't want to give it to you the way it is. I want to clean it up, fix it up. And I don't want to just, you know, I want to give it the best that I can. And so I did that. And I said, but I consider this thing's already gone. If somebody comes and offers me anything, hey, I don't even have the title, man. It's in your hands. And so anyway, I'm sure that's been a blessing to John. Amen. And then I got to thinking, I said, well, you know, I've got another truck too. And this other truck was given to me actually by my stepfather. And it's a good truck. It's a one-ton pickup. And I had tried to sell that about 3 months ago or so. I put it in the thrifty nickel one time. And I hadn't got very many calls on it. In fact, well, I did have one guy call, and I said, I'm asking $2,700 for this truck. It's got a rebuilt motor in it. It's only got 30,000 miles on it. And I said, I want $2,700. He says, well, I have $2,000 cash. I said, I'll give you $2,000 cash. And if not, well, then I'll have to just try to save up the money. I said, well, I don't think I can take that. And so anyway, after God was really prompting in my heart to really be a blessing, I said, Wendy, and I didn't think my wife would go for this very well, but I said, what I want to do is that I want to sell this truck, but I want to give the money to my stepdad. And the reason I was going to do that is because in between the time that he had given me that truck, and the only reason he'd given it to me is because that I had a need at that time and my truck had broke down at that time. Something had went wrong with it. And so I determined in my heart that, anyway, he'd had a stroke. And because of the stroke, there had been a tremendous financial drain upon my mother and my stepfather. And I told Wendy, I said, look, I says, we don't need this other truck, and we've got a car now that meets our needs, and we can get out of town. I says, I'd like to sell this truck, and I'd like to give the money to my mother and my stepdad to help meet their needs. And I said, I want to at least give them, at least give them $1,500. And so anyway, I put that in a Thrifty Nickel, and I had so many calls for that truck. I probably could have sold that truck, I don't know how many times. But anyway, I was determined in my heart that just the words that Jesus says, whatsoever you'd have men do to you, do you also unto them. I wasn't trying to rip anybody off. I wasn't trying to get the highest price for the truck. I was trying to be a blessing to whoever got that truck. I mean, I wanted to be a blessing to them. I wanted to bless as many people as I could. And so somebody, a lady called one day, and she said, what would you take for that truck? And I said, well, I was asking $2,700. I said, I turned down $2,000. But I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you that truck for $1,700. She says, what? She says, we looked all over everywhere for a truck. I said, well, what are you going to use it for? She says, we're going to use it for the farm and to pull a trailer. I said, well, this is ideal for that. I mean, that's what it's built for. It's a work truck. And she says, well, can I see the truck? And I said, yeah. And I told her where it was. And I said, if you want to drive it, drive it. And so she came over to my house. I was at work, and she drove it. And she called back and said, we want that truck. And my husband, her husband hadn't even seen it. She just says, consider that truck sold. We want that truck. And so anyway, she says, my husband will get with you tomorrow and bring you the cash. And so anyway, her husband called the next day. And right in the middle of this, we had a couple of needs, several needs. Right in the middle of all of this, given there's several needs that we had. One was is our dryer broke down at home. And I had tried to fix that dryer. I mean, we had bought a new element to go in. It cost us $30. I put that thing in there and it blew up the first time I put it in. I put it in again. It blew up again. And I put it in about three times and blew up every time. And I think everything on that dryer is about 15 years old at least. We've had it since we've been married. And we've replaced about every part on that dryer. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried. And I don't know how you guys, when you come home and your wife says the clothes are wet, and clothes is wet, and all of these kind of things, it's really a strain sometimes on your family and on your marriage, man. It makes it pretty rough. So right in the middle of this, we had a need, not only for a dryer, but we had a $700 tax bill. We needed $700 for a tax bill. And in the middle of this, I'm telling my wife, we need to sell this truck and give the money to my dad and mother, you know, which I thought she was going to hit me with a newspaper, you know, or something. But she prayed about it, and she says, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. And so anyway, right in the middle of this, our dryer broke down, and she and my wife says, well, would you call in the Thrifty Nickel and call these numbers and let's look and see if there's a dryer and these kind of things. So I started calling these numbers, and we got, you know, an ad in the Thrifty Nickel saying brand new dryer. I mean, brand new, you know, never, and all this kind of stuff. So I called the number, and I started quizzing the woman and said, is that really a brand new dryer? Never been used. She says, well, no. Not really. It's been in storage, you know. It's several years old, but it's not been used, you know, hardly. And I said, well, is it a big one? Well, it was in a trailer house. It's not the biggest one. Well, sounds like this is going to be fun, you know. You know, you kind of get false advertising, you know what I mean? And so we saw this one ad, motorcycle, dryer, on and on and on. Had all kinds of stuff in it. And so I called that number, and come to find out, it was a church that was beginning in the Springs. And what they did was, is they were trying to raise money for their church because they were trying to get their church going. And what they were doing is people in the church began to bring different appliances. One guy brought a dryer. One guy brought a motorcycle. And they were bringing all kinds of things. And then they were selling these items when they got the money, then they gave it to the church. And I thought, well, I feel good about this. You know, I feel good that if I went and bought one of their appliances, that the money was going to go for the gospel. You know, it was going to go to build a church and to really help somebody. And I felt real good about that. So I said, well, what color is your dryer? Well, they says it's gold. And I said, oh, man, probably some old yellow thing beat up somebody didn't want. They said, no, no, it's good. It's this guy that works on them is an appliance man. I mean, and it's guaranteed. And if anything goes wrong with it, we'll fix it. And I said, well, all right, where is it at? And so it was kind of late at night, so it wasn't very far from the house. So we went over to this place where they had this church. And sure enough, boy, I mean, this was a brand new dryer. I mean, this thing was a Kenmore, extra heavy duty, big monster, which is exactly what we need for our family, you know, to meet our needs. And I mean, it looked new. I mean, it looked sharp. And so I said, all right, you know, we'll take it. And he says, and the guy that was there says, look, we'll load it up in my pickup. I'll take it to your house and I'll help you install it. And he helped me install it. And I said, I'll take my dryer. I says, since this man is an appliance man and he just repairs used dryers and things like that, I says, I'll give you my dryer. And I said, even though it's old, I said, you might at least get $50 out of it or something. I said, then you can fix it and sell it and give that money to the church. And so anyway, I got rid of my old dryer, got a new dryer. The guy helped me, you know, put it in. And, anyway, it was really a blessing, and I felt like I was a blessing to them, and I felt like there was a blessing to me, and it was good. It was really a good deal. Well, to go back to my truck, number two, I told Wendy, I said, I'm at least going to give $1,500 to my mother and my stepdad, and I said, anything above that, we can keep. So I told the lady I'd take $1,700, which would really meet the need for this dryer that we were having right in the middle of this. And anyway, here comes this guy. He's never seen the truck or anything. And I said, look, I says, you're not under any obligation, even though you guys says that we have the cash, consider it sold and all this stuff. I says, if you don't like the truck, I said, I've been turning people down, but it's been calling me, telling them it's sold. But I says, you're under no obligation for me. I says, if you don't like this truck, I says, it's fine. I mean, you can walk away. I mean, you're not under any obligation to buy this truck whatsoever. And I started showing him everything that was wrong with this truck. I said, it's got rust right here. And I showed him where it was. And I says, if I was going to buy the truck, I would, you know, I'd flush the radiator and this and that and that. And, you know, I just showed him things that I thought needed to be done if he was going to, you know, buy the truck. He looked at it. He didn't say anything. He says, well, let me, you know, he says, electrical work. I said, yeah, everything works fine. And so he wanted to drive it. So I let him drive it and he didn't say anything. And so he drove it around and then he came back and and he came in. I said, well, come in the house. So he came in the house and he says, if you'll give me that truck for $1,700, he says, I want that truck. He said, I want that truck. I said, look, I took him aside privately. I said, look, I said, you don't want that truck. I said, look, I said, if you get that truck, I mean, you're going to cause problems in my marriage, man. Because Wendy was saying I needed to sell it for a lot more money. And so I said, look, you're going to cause problems in my marriage, maybe even cause a divorce, man. You know, I was joking with the guy, but he didn't know I was joking, you know. And he says, you got to do what you got to do. He says, I want that truck. I said, man, you don't want that truck. He says, man, I want that truck. He says, I want that truck, and here's the cash and this and that. And so anyway, anyway, so he went away just, I mean, he went away just thinking he'd conquered the world, you know, and he was really blessed. And so we took the money and we sent the money to my mother. We took the extra money and bought this dryer. And, you know, it's just a blessing all the way around. And I tell you, it was exciting. And I tell you what was exciting. I mean, it is really true. Jesus' word, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And my motivation in giving, and my motivation in, like when I gave to John or when I just gave these people a good deal or whatever, my motivation was never that I would give and get something back. It was just exciting. I mean, it was just exciting to, like Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So I never came before the Lord asking or expecting to receive anything back. Well, right in the middle of this, Wendy and I just got to talking and says, well, what, you know, what else do we have to give? Well, we don't have any money to give, and we do have this tax bill that's coming up, and we don't have any money, but one of the things that we do have is some property in Clayton, New Mexico, and I haven't been in Clayton. I used to pastor a church in Clayton, and I got burnt out, and we bought this property, and we converted it into a restaurant, a barbecue restaurant. We ran it for a year. We shut it down, and it's been sitting there ever since I left Clayton. And so we don't have any money, but we've got this, you know, this restaurant or this, you know, piece of property sitting in Clayton. Well, one day, a girl that we had ministered to in Clayton called us and says, you know, Lewis and Addie Montoya, which had a thriving Mexican food restaurant in Clayton, New Mexico. I mean, they had a thriving business on Highway 87. And they called it the La Paloma, which means the white dove. And I mean, everybody from all over that area knows of that place. And they have a big sign that says, Jesus is Lord on there. And they're charismatic Catholics. And they really minister to a lot of people. And anyway, they got behind on some IRS payments a few years back. And from what they tell me is that they were still making payments, trying to catch up. But one day the IRS came into their restaurant, and I mean, just shut the door. I mean, they took a padlock and just, man, just like that. I mean, they locked that thing down and shut them down. Well, Lewis and Addie had not known anything except restaurant business for years. I mean, in the last 30 years, they've been in the restaurant business. I mean, that's all they've known. That's their livelihood. When they shut them down, they not only shut them down, but they shut down about 20-some employees that had their livelihood from working in there. And not only that, they almost killed Clayton's revenue of tax revenue. I mean, it went down. I mean, they hurt Clayton bad when the IRS shut them down. I mean, it hurt Clayton, hurt about 20 people, families, and then it hurt Lewis and Addie. And they didn't know what to do, and here they are, you know, in the time of life where it's not, you know, you don't necessarily a good thing to start trying to get into a new kind of profession. And so this girl called Wendy and I and said, you know, Lewis and Addie ask about your property, about your house there. I don't know. Maybe they even want to live there. I don't know what the deal is. And so I said, all right, well, we'll call them. And so one day I called them, thinking that they just might even need a place to stay, you know. They're just going to lose everything. And anyway, they said, well, we're interested in your place. And I said, well, my place is, man, it's a lot smaller than your place. I mean, you know, it's pretty small. And I said, but if you want to look at it, I said, if you want to look at it, I said, there's so-and-so in town. There's got a key. Just go over there and get the key and go in there and look around. And anyway, so they went and looked around. They came back. They called me. I mean, they called me right away. Says, we really like it. I mean, we like that place. And I said, well, what are you going to do with it? They said, well, we'd like to start a business there. We'd like to start a restaurant up there. And I said, well, I tell you what, I know you don't have any money. And I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I says, you just go on in there and just move on in there and get the place fixed up. I says, and you don't have to pay me any rent or anything. And, you know, in 2 or 3 months or something, if you get on your feet or whatever, then you can pay me something if you want to, you know. And if you can't, I said, just be honest with me. If you can't pay anything, just say, look, I'm in a bind and I don't have it. I can't pay you anything. I said, no, I'll understand. That's okay. So just go on in there and just, you know, do whatever you want to do. And so anyway, after looking at it, they said, look, we don't want to rent the place. We want to buy the place. I said, you want to buy the place? He said, yeah, we want to buy it. I said, would you sell it? I said, well, I hadn't thought about it, but I said, yeah, I'll sell it. And he said, well, what do you want for it? So I said, well, let me talk to Wendy and I'll pray about this thing and I'll let you know. So I got to praying about it. And our whole purpose was to be a blessing to somebody else. And so I got to praying about it, and the figure that I came up with was lower than what I had in the place. In other words, I was going to lose money if I gave them this place at that price. And so anyway, but I wanted to be fair with them, and I wanted to be a blessing to them. So I gave it to them at this price, at a lower price than what I had into. So I lost, I don't know, several thousand dollars. But anyway, and I told them, I says, Lynn, I'll tell you what else I'll do. I said, I'll give you this place for interest free. I says, there's no interest at all. I said, you just pay whatever you pay to pay me, you'll just pay principal. I said, there's no interest. And they started crying. And they said, well, I tell you what. They said, the body of Christ is coming together. And, you know, I guess they thought, I don't know what they thought, but anyway, it really touched their heart. And there was a testimony that really bore witness all over Clayton. Concerning this, and they went in there, and they remodeled it. There wasn't too much remodeling they have to do, but they put some money in it. And I tell you, it's a nice little place if you ever go through Clayton, New Mexico. I tell you. And so to go to change gears here in the middle of this story a little bit. I was asked to go to Grand Junction, Colorado, to minister. And I began to pray about that. And I said, Lord, I don't want to just go to Grand Junction and just minister. I said, you're going to have to send me to the people, and that you're going to have to put a message on my heart for these particular people. And so I began to pray and intercede about Grand Junction, Colorado. And instead of that being on my heart, Clayton, New Mexico. The people in Clayton, New Mexico got on my heart. And I said, well, God, what's the deal here? So I'm supposed to be praying about Grand Junction, and you put Clayton, New Mexico on my heart, and the pastor over there too. And so I told Wendy, I said, Wendy, I think God wants us to go to Clayton. I said, boy, in my flesh, that's the last place I want to go, is to drive to Clayton, New Mexico. Because, you know, it's just, to me, it's just kind of like a depressing place, and it's a bad vibe, you know what I mean? And so we'd been doing all of this work, I mean, the selling of this property, we've been doing it through the mail, you know. And poor old Marvin there, he's my lawyer. And he was reading my contracts and trying to figure out, you know, all kinds of things, see if it was, you know, up to par and everything like that. And so I did have some business in Clayton, but I just didn't want to go there, you know. And so I told Wendy, I said, God's putting Clayton, New Mexico, the people of Clayton, on my heart. And she says, you know, I've been praying about it. And she says, I get the same thing. And she says, we better go. I said, yeah, I guess we better go. And so I called up the pastor over there and said, Ron, how would you like some company this weekend? I said, well, I'd like to have some company. I said, well, we're going to come. And so he's not used to me, you know, calling and saying, I'm going to come Clayton, New Mexico. So he wondered probably what I was up to. I don't know. But I tell you, I had never wanted to preach so bad in all my life as I did in Clayton, New Mexico. I mean, I wasn't going for some business deal. I mean, God had put really something on my heart. And so I got to Clayton, New Mexico, and I was with the pastor, and man, he didn't say nothing about me ministering, you know. And I began to pray. I said, God, I got a middle of the night prayer. I said, God, I know. I really believe that you want me to share here in Clayton, New Mexico with these people. And so they had the Sunday school, and that was usually the time that I shared in the church because I used to teach in that church, and they never asked me to share nothing. And so this lady got up, and she shared in the Sunday school class. And it was good. It was really good. It was edifying. I got a lot out of it. And then Sunday morning, you know, the pastor ministered, and it was good. And I mean, I really got turned on. I mean, it was really good. And I got excited some of the things that was being shared. And so later that afternoon on Sunday, he says, well, Don, why don't you just plan on sharing a little bit tonight? And he was telling about their testimony services, how that, you know, God was moving on testimonies and their services went on and on. And I thought, I wonder what he means by that. I wonder if he means he just wants me to share a testimony, or I wonder if he means he wants me to preach, or what does he mean? You know what I mean? I said, I don't know. I'm just going to go, and if I get the chance, I'm going to minister, you know. So anyway, they had testimonies and different things like that, and it came time to minister the word, and he did invite me to minister the word, and I got up and ministered the word, and it was really powerful. And the Holy Spirit really bore witness, and we saw a lot of transformed lives that night. It was really powerful. And so anyway, I wasn't expecting an offering, and sure enough, I didn't get one. And so anyway, but after the service, this guy walked up to me, and the guy didn't know me, you know, that much, that good. And he says, well, here's a little something I wanted to give you. The Lord told me to give you this. And I said, well, okay, well, I appreciate it. And so I took it and stuck it in my pocket, didn't look at it. You know, I thought, well, you know, he gave me $5 or 10 or something, but I appreciate it, you know. And so when I got back to the house, I looked in my pocket, and that there was a check, and it was written out for $500 to me in my name for $500. I thought, wow, Lord, I mean, this is really something. And so the next day, some people had asked me to come over and have lunch with them. And so I went over and had lunch with them. And before we left, she said, wait a minute, I want to give you guys something. And so she wrote a check, and she said, and here's a check for you, and here's a check for Wendy. And she wrote out a check for $100 to me, and then she wrote out a check for $100 to Wendy and gave it to us before we left. And then we drove down to the restaurant, and there was a lady in there, and she just had a handful of cash. She said, I want to give this to you. And she handed us a handful of bills. And at first I said, no. I said, okay. And it was $100. And so we left Clayton that weekend. Not only was the ministry that God had done in my heart to really minister to the people, we left at Clayton, New Mexico with $800 and in cash. And we came back, and I paid all of my IRS taxes and everything, and Wendy kept her $100. So she got her $100, and I paid taxes with my $700. And I thought, God, you are really good. I tell you, I mean, the most unlikely sources, you know what I mean? I mean, people that you know are just average people just coming up to you and just saying, God put on my heart to give you this or to give you that, you know? And I thought, God, isn't this something? I've never received so easy in all my life. And see, my motivation was never to ever receive anything. My motivation was just go and be a blessing to somebody, just to give and to be a blessing to somebody. But I tell you, when you fulfill the words of our Lord, where he says that whatsoever you'd have men to do to you, do to them, I guarantee you, God's going to look out for you, and God is going to see that your needs are met and that you receive. And it is, you know, it was really a blessing. And so God met our needs, I tell you, in a supernatural way, and it was so easy, and it was so fun, and I never enjoyed being at a place so much as I enjoyed being Clayton that weekend. And it would have been just that easy to miss God, because I just had a still small voice that I was to be there. And my whole flesh said, no, we don't want to go over there, you know. And yet, just that, to be where God wants you to be at the right time, knowing that you've got something from God for the people and all that, it just, I mean, it's amazing what God did. And the way he did it was amazing. You know, it was amazing. And I just want to close by saying this. You know, part of being Abraham's seed is that you would be blessed and that you would be a blessing. And that you would be a blessing. And I just, and I know one day God told me, he says, he pointed out a need to me one day of somebody in the church. And he says, they need food. And I want you to meet their need this weekend. I want you to give them, I want you to go buy them some food. And I said, God, I don't have any money. There's no way I can go buy those people the food. I mean, you know what it is when you get down to the time you hadn't got paid yet, and those few days before you get paid, and you know, that kind of deal, and you don't have any money in your checking account. I said, God, there's no way I can buy food for these people this weekend. And he said, well, what can you do? And I said, well, God, I can't go out and get a job on, I mean, this is Saturday now. I mean, it's Saturday. And I can't go out. I work for Andrew Womack Ministries, and that's where, you know, God, you meet my needs. But how am I going to go out and get a job today? And even if I got a job today, it's going to be weeks before a paycheck would come. And he said, well, what can you do? And I got to thinking, what can I do? Well, there's not much I can do. And he pointed out my son, Stephen. And he says, what's Stephen been doing? I said, well, Stephen's been out raking leaves. You know, it was in the fall. I said, Stephen's been out raking leaves. He said, can you rake leaves? I said, yeah, I can rake leaves for it. I said, all right, Stephen, you want to go with me today? I'm going to go out and rake leaves, and we're going to get some finances for some people, and we're going to buy food, and we're going to meet the needs of these people. And he says, well, could you pay me, Dad, if I went with you? I said, oh, boy. I said, Stephen, you just heard what I said. But I said, yeah, if we get some money, I'll pay you some money for helping me. And so I got in a pickup truck. And so the best way to get a job raking leaves is you just drive around until you see a bunch of leaves in somebody's yard, and you just stop there and go knock on the door. That's the only way I knew to do it. And so I went and knocked on the door. Somebody, and I says, lady, do you need your leaves raked? Oh, no, my husband does that. I said, okay, well, thank you. Got back in a pickup, started driving again, found some more yard with leaves in it, knocked on the door. Lady, would you like your leaves raked? Oh, no, we do that ourselves. Or okay, thank you. Get in the pickup and go driving again. Get out, knock on the door. Somebody else, you want your leaves raked? Oh, no, it's very good for the grass. Oh, those leaves are good for the grass. Okay, well. It went on and on. And I said, well, God, you told me to go out and to meet the needs of these people. I says, and I am just not going to let Satan defeat me today. I mean, it was looking discouraging, man. I was knocking on doors, and every time I knocked on a door, I was getting turned down. And so finally I knocked on this one. I said, Stephen, we're just going to keep on. I mean, God's going to go before us, and we're going to be blessed today. And so finally I knocked on this one door, and this lady said, I said, lady, would you need your leaves raked? And she said, well, I don't know. He says, maybe. Says, you can talk to my husband. He's around front. And then she says, now wait a minute. She says, you see that house right across there? And there's this kind of big gully and divide. She says, see that house right across there? She said, there's a lady over there. And she fell and broke her arm. And she's an older lady, and she fell and broke her arm, and she might need her leaves raked. I said, all right, thank you, ma'am. So I drove across over here where this house was, and when I walked up in the yard, here was a lady out there with a broken arm in a sling with a rake, trying to rake her leaves with one arm. And she was really having a hard time at it. And I said, ma'am, I said, would you like your leaves raked? I said, you know, I want to meet the needs of these people. They need food. And I said, and I'd like to rake leaves and just get enough money to buy them some food. And I said, you can just pay me anything you want. I'm not asking for any certain price or anything. I said, I'll rake your leaves and you can just pay me whatever you think it's worth. And boy, it was like I was an angel come from heaven, man. She looked at me and she got so excited, she started almost to jump up and down. I mean, she was excited. You know, it was like she must have been praying and interceding about this. I don't know. But she was so blessed and so thankful. And she gave me that rake. And when I started raking, it was like the Spirit of the Lord came on me. I felt like Samson at all, man. I mean, this yard was huge. You wouldn't believe how big this yard was. And I mean, I was raking as fast as, I was going fast. And I couldn't believe how we got, I think it took us 2.5 hours to rake that. It was a big yard, real big yard, front and back. And it had lots of leaves. And I think it was about 16 bags or so that we raked up or something like that. But she said, I can't believe you got that raked so fast. I said, I can't either. She says, I tell you, she says, we've raked this yard. And she says, nobody's ever raked this yard that fast. And I said, lady, I believe it. I said, I know it. And that lady gave me enough money to go and buy, I can't believe the food that I bought. I went down to, I think it was Sam's or Pace. I went down to one of those places and I started getting the bulk food, man. I started getting the meat. I mean, I bought chicken. I don't know all the stuff I bought, but I mean, it was just piled over with food. I couldn't believe the food that I bought with that amount of money that she gave me. It was like God was multiplying it. And on top of that, I gave, I think it was $10 or so to Stephen. And he was blessed. And I guess the thing that I'm trying to bring out here today and that I've shared is just, you know, that God's called us to be a blessing. You know? And whatever we'd have, and Jesus there in that, in Luke, when he says, whatsoever you'd have men to do to you, do you also to them. And it says, what reward do you? If I give Stan something and I know that Stan's going to give me back, what reward do I have? The sinners do the same thing as that. You know what I mean? If I'm going to be nice to Millie knowing that Millie's going to be nice to me, well, what reward is that? I mean, sinners have friends that do the same thing. You know what I mean? And what Jesus is saying is that I'm asking you to reach to all mankind and that to love your enemies and whatsoever you'd have men do to you, do to them, to all mankind. Not because you're going to get something back, but because in doing to others what you'd want done to you is the only way that the love of Jesus is going to be expressed in this world. Amen. Amen. And I tell you, it works and it's exciting. Amen.